Well, news of the bombing at the finishing line of the Boston Marathon on Monday broke first via Twitter, with both runners and journalists at the scene immediately tweeting the events with images and videos. Now, Malachy Brown, you're working with the online news platform Storyful, and it is interesting to see the impact that social media, particularly Twitter, had in getting the story out. First of all, tell me how that was from your point of view in Storyful.
Really what we're looking at is authenticated sources on the ground. There are really valuable tools like Eyewitness, Adaptive Path, Geofedia. And what these do is they gather geolocated tweets. So we were able to hone in on Copley Square and look at the people who were reporting from the scene and choose those people who were reporting facts and sharing photos and group those together into a list also as citizen reporters who appeared to be reputable. Making a list and combining that with official sources, you had a really good picture of what was happening from moment to moment.
Now, I know there were lots of people unwittingly maybe retweeting information and speculation that maybe was unfounded. Was this a situation where old-fashioned news values came to the fore as well?
Absolutely. It's about asking questions about every piece of information. I mean, for us as a newsroom monitoring it remotely, we had a bigger picture. We were monitoring WBZ-TV, a live stream from them. We were monitoring the police scanner. And we could see people on Twitter reporting speculation based on information that was being shared on the police scanner. Police were examining bags, but people were misreporting that as there are multiple devices. So, you know, applying scrutiny to every piece of information that crosses your radar is essential.
But the Boston Globe, I believe, was also up to speed.
The Boston Globe were. They have their own contacts and local journalists on the ground with such contacts are invaluable. However, in recent stories, we've noticed law enforcement officials unofficially giving out false information that can be misleading as well. So if you consider the Newtown shootings in Connecticut, Adam Lanza was named as the shooter by a law enforcement agent to a reporter. And suddenly there was this frenzy that built up around his social media profile being incorrectly named. His photo was shared and Adam himself was on his way home from work, messaging his friends privately on Facebook that it's not me, I'm not the shooter, I'm on my way home from work, and being able to access that information and warning our news organizations that this in fact does not appear to be the guy is invaluable information.
But would you say this was one of those stories that just reaffirms the fact that, or at least I suppose would suggest, that citizen journalism will never actually replace professional, old-fashioned, well-sourced reporting?
No, it won't. Social media has to be viewed through the prism of traditional journalistic values. What social media is a great tip line. It's like a phone line to any newsroom, except there are far more sources and each of these have to be vetted. It's possible to put a lot of work in prior to events happening to organise these sources in a systematic way and authenticating certain sources. But no, validation is absolutely key.
On your own blog, I know, Malachy, you had a fantastic narrative in which you traced a video made by the daughter of a woman who was running. Just tell me how that came about.
As soon as we got news of the explosions in Boston, we were using search terms for the street names for Boston itself through social media platforms to bring that story to visual. What I mean by that is to get photos and videos that people were uploading from the scene. This photo was taken from a runner's perspective. She had a GoPro camera on her head as she was running towards the finish line as the bomb exploded. We found that video on an obscure YouTube account. In short, we managed to trace that username through various social media platforms to identify a teenager in New York. Now, the next step is to identify that this teenager in New York is connected with the runner in Boston. The teenager's surname was Tracy. By simply looking at the registrants for the marathon, we found one hit as Jennifer Tracy from New York, and we were able to find her phone number and speak to her about the video, and she gave us additional context about her experience.
And I believe the Boston police used social media very effectively in the immediate aftermath of the bombing.
Yes, the Boston police were very quick at sending out essential information. They were very low volume, but nuggets of what was happening and what their officers were doing. It was on the Boston police account and also on the public information officer account. So, for instance, when a fire was reported at the JFK library in Boston, of course, speculation mounted that this too was connected to the bombings. In fact, it wasn't. It was a mechanical failure. And the police were very quick to say, we're treating it as connected, but we have no confirmation that it is so at the moment. Similarly, when people misreported the police scanner that there were multiple devices, the police were very quick on Twitter to say, no, we don't have any evidence that there are multiple devices here. And so, in effect, they were downplaying the panic that was spreading through social media and to people on the ground.